Well, it gives me great pleasure this morning to welcome and invite Adriana and Lucy Sheps, pastors from the JD Church in Swindon. Praise God that they're here this morning. We've developed a great friendship with this couple and with their family. We've got to know them now a few years. And the church has been running some sort of similar to how we have been running as well here. And we've been there a few times to see what they do. But the amazing thing is we have this great relationship with men and women of God that God has positioned us with. Adrian is not new here. He's been here before. The family have been here before as well. So this is our time to pluck up our ears, get our hearts ready and say, God, whatever you have for me, put it in me right now. Download it into my spirit. So it's great joy. I invite you to come and just minister the word of God this morning.
Amen. God is good. Amen. It's a great privilege for me to be here today. Amen. We're going to be talking about community. Yeah, if you want to take some notes, the title for our message today is community. Just a kind of a quick introduction for those who got no idea who I am. Yeah, my name is Adriano, and I'm originally from Brazil. And I, myself and my family, we started a church about 5 years ago in Swindon. And the name of the church is JD Church. And I thought that name would be very kind of straightforward for people to understand. But then I start seeing people, what JD stands for? You know, is anything to do with JD Sports? No, it's nothing to do with JD Sports. You know, and everywhere, I remember once we had a... there is a thing they do in an Old Town Festival, yeah? And we had our stalls there and the flag and everything. And people was kind of having a bet to you know, to guess the name of the church, what the purpose and the meaning of the name behind, you know. And the people would come to our stalls and start asking what that's about, you know. And they start discussing kind of, one was saying that was about something else. And then we say, oh, the name of our church, the meaning of the name of our church, you know, is Jesus Disciples Church. You know, Jesus Disciples Church. That's why we call JD Church. And the reason why we call our church JD Church, Jesus Disciples Church, is because we as a church, we're very focused in discipleship. Yeah, especially on discipleship one-to-one. Yeah, we got a material that we normally would go through with people. And that's the heart of our church, you know, kind of having discipleship with people, walking along with people, you know, and that's one of the reasons why we got this name. But also, one of the things that is quite crucial, you know, in our church is community. You know, community is crucial in everything that we are doing, okay? And then we got the first slide, which is saying that's a kind of a title of our message, community. Community is so crucial in everything that we are doing in church. And I want to just expand a little bit more on that topic of community. Amen. If we go to the next one, please, yeah. What is the definition of the church? I think that's something we need to understand. I believe everything that we do, there is a reason why we do something. You know, there's a reason behind of things. I remember as a kid, kind of growing up in Brazil, the tradition is basically just do as your parents told you to do. You know, and I wasn't even allowed to ask why my dad wanted to do something. He would just say, do this or don't do this, and I would not be a kind of a conversation. And every time my dad would turn his back away, I probably would be doing exactly what he told me to not do it, you know, because there was never kind of an understanding the meaning why I shouldn't be doing that thing. You know, I think we are in the culture where there's the understanding why we're doing something so important. Yeah, we need to understand the why. Why are we doing this? You know, why we are here today? Why you got up in the morning? Yeah, you dressed up and you came to church. There were so many different things that you could actually be doing right now. You know, it could be, you know, after a very long week at work, you could be resting, isn't it? At home and kind of catching up with some of the housework or catching up with friends and family and so many different things. And now you turn up to church. You know, what is the purpose? What is the reason? What is the meaning of church? You know, it's really crucial. It's really kind of important for us to understand that. And I want to just bring a bit of understanding of the word church. If you go to the next one, please. I think many times we think church is a building, isn't it? A place with light or a place without light, you know, with candles and a building. You know, we see the things around us, and that's what we got in our heads, isn't it? Like, I go to church, I'm going to be going to that building, I'm going to be going to that place. And people do church in so many different ways, and many times we can actually, that's what church is about. You know, a place that I go to, you know, that doesn't really matter if there's anybody else in that building. You know, the building is the church. As soon as I go to church, it's all about that building. Yeah, but if we go to the next one, please. But if we look into the true kind of meaning of the church, I thought church has come to mean a building or organization. The original Greek, ekklesia, meant a gathering, assembly, and it is the basic for our word congregation, yeah? And that is what God designed the church to be, a group of people, yeah? The church is not so much about a building. You know, we can have nice lights, and I love what you guys done here. You know, looks so smart, looks so good, you know, and I believe that's kind of important, especially for the young generation. We'll be able to connect it, you know, in this kind of environment. But the lights are not the church. You know, the chairs that we got here is not the church. The building, the structure that we got here is not the church. You know, some people, they think, oh, I need to be holy when I'm in church, isn't it? But when I'm there, out there, you know, I don't need to be holy. I don't need to live a life different. I got church, which I clock in on Sunday, you know, and clock out after the service, and then I get on with my normal life. But church, as we just read there, it's not about the building, you know. Church is about the gathering of people. You know, when there is a gathering of Christians, you know, there is a church is actually there. You know, is a community, and the ecclesia kind of describes, you know, the true meaning. We see, as we read the scripture, we probably see many times the word church there, but that never meant to being like men, what we understand now as a church. You know, the Germans, they change a little bit of the meaning of that word. In Portuguese, which is our mother's tongue, you know, we call igreja, you know, which is very similar to iglesia, and that brings the true meaning, which is about a gathering of people. You know, a church is a gathering of people, yeah? If we would, you know, if none of you guys were here today, you know, that wouldn't be a church, you know? But because we got more people here gathering together, now we are forming a church, you know? And Pope Francis, he quoted, if we go to the next one, please. He quoted, yeah, the church should go back or being a community of God's people and priests and pastors and bishops who have to care of souls, are at the service of the people of God. Yeah, the church is or should go back to being a community of God's people and priests, pastors and bishops who have to care of souls, yeah, are at the service of the people of God, you know. And I think that's something we need to be reminded, you know. And if church has lost its mean, you know, we need to go back to the true understanding of what the church is about. And that's the dream that God always had in his heart, you know, was about building a community. And we're going to look into some scriptures which will help us to understand that. We see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Genesis
chapter 1, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Yeah, we see Adam and Eve. God created the world and then he created Adam and Eve. And the first commandment that he gave to them is to go and form community. That's what God was saying. Go and form a community. Then we see in Genesis chapter 9, verse 7, "As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it." Yeah, we see now Noah. God created the world. And then Adam and Eve start to reproduce. And there was kind of communities being formed around the world, and some of those communities, or the majority of those communities, were kind of not a health community, but of a very unhealth communities. Yeah. And then God kind of, and with the flood, he destroyed, you know, the world and destroyed some of those communities. And then we see Noah. Yeah, he and his family were actually the only ones who were actually left to start, you know, again. And the first thing that God said to them after the flood is basically, go and form communities. Yeah, I want you to go and I want you to form communities. Yeah, and we see the same thing with Adam and Eve. Go and form communities. Go and form a family. Because I think the community that God intends for us to form is basically a family. It's more than what we see, a gathering of people. But I think what God is always intend for us to have is like a family, you know, like dealing with each other like a family. So important, so crucial, you know, for us to understand from the beginning that's what God always intend. And then we see the calling in the life of Abraham. You know, what was basically, you're going to be a father of many nations, yeah? Again, I'm going to use you to form communities, you know, which will not just be like a gathering of people, but will be like families, isn't it? So crucial, so important for us to understand why you are here today. You're here because God called you to form communities, yeah? God wanted you to be, you know, to gather here a community, which is not just about Pastor Sam and Pastor Jenny to be forming those communities, you know. They are part of this community, but everyone in here, you know, should be participate in this process of forming communities, because that's our calling. That's what God brought us. It's not just to have a building where we can gather. It's nice to have a nice place where we can gather in together, but what really matters in everything that we are doing is the community, is the family. And then we see Jesus saying to the disciples in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Yeah, Jesus is saying, I want you to go and form communities. I want you to go into different places. You know, I want you to go into different nations, and I want you guys to be forming communities. I want you to discipleship people. I want you to explain to people this new culture that we have in Christ. Amen. You know, there's so much more that God intends for us. You know, and we need to understand, we need to go back, you know, to what God had intended for us at the start. Amen? Amen. If you go to the next one, please. Yes, and the big question, how do we build community? I think many times we come to church and then people say loads of things and then we end up in that place. No, that's great. I really want to do something about, but how can I engage? What is the practical way to get involved in the things that you're describing and what you're saying? You know, and there is many ways to build community. Yeah, we at JD Church, we got something we do to build community, and that's I gotta be explaining and expanding. Yeah, and here probably you already got things in place to build community, and every single church, you know, they got their own ways of building community. I'm not saying the way I'm doing, you know, is the best way, but it's one of the things you might can learn and grab one or two things that you're going to be sharing today, and you can start applying, you know, in this community and seeing how God can move and help this community to grow and to be what God had designed you guys to be. Amen. And we can build a health community and we can build an unhealth community, you know, that will depend in some of the values and the things that we got in community and how we're building community. Yeah. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Amen. If you go to the next one, please. We are going to be sharing, you know, three simple steps to build a health community. Yeah, we as at JD Church, we got a very amazing family. We are a family. We are not just a community, a gathering of people, but we are more than that. We like a family. And some of you guys, when you come to Inside Out, you're going to be able to experience that. You know, how we really kind of function together because we see in ourselves as a family. We don't see just a gathering of people. And some of the principles I'm going to be sharing today is basically, you know, how some of those things that we've been using, you know, as part of the culture of the church that really kind of helped us to form this strong bond and this strong kind of family. Amen. I just need some water, please. Thank you. And one of the things that we need to understand the difference. We got a gathering of people. We got like social clubs. We got like a gym membership, you know, where we go and we go into that gym because of the things that gym can offer me, yeah? That gym, you know, got the best equipment, you know, got the best personal trainers, or you know, it's look good, my friends goes to that gym, you know? But our family is a bit different story, isn't it? Our family, we are a family, you know? Not matter, you know, what, we still standing together, we still collaborate, we still participate. It's not something, you know, I want to buy and I want to, if I don't like my family, I just moving to another family. No, it's our family. We need to deal with each other. We need to learn. We go through hard times. We go through good times. We go through like okay times, but we still standing together as a family. You know, and that's one of the things that's quite important for us to understand. As I said, we are building community. Yeah. And we are building this kind of family. That's the calling of God in all of our lives, you know, not just here, you know, but in every single church, every single Christian, God has called us, you know, to be a community family, you know. And as we engage in this family, we need to understand we are not, you know, having a commercial approach where we, oh, I like it, I don't like it. No, we are here, you know, to add to what God is doing. You know, we are here to participate. And that going to be things, you know, that Bob's going to do. I'm not going to, I don't really like what he's done here. But then I talk to him, you know, I deal with things. And we grow from those things, you know. And we build a stronger relationship. You know, I've been married to the amazing Pastor Lucy for nearly 20 years, you know. And I can say after the 20 years, my marriage is stronger now. You know, my relationship with her is better than ever, you know, because we went through so many different things in our lives, you know. But instead of saying, oh, yeah, Lucy, she's not good enough, you know, I'm going to find somebody else who's good enough and keep moving around, you know, because every time I was confronted with some situation, you know, but then I would realize every time I move into a new relationship, I would find other things that would that wasn't actually pleasing to me, you know, and I need to understand that that's normal, you know, in life to find and to have afflictions and to you know, to disagree sometimes, but we need to be able to overcome those things, you know, and understand that's just part of relationships, yeah. And unfortunately, we are living in a society, you know, where we got social media, which can be a very powerful tool, you know, many times to proclaim the good news of Christ. But also, social media is kind of having a bad impact, you know, because now if I don't like some anymore. You know, I just unfriended him on my social media. And I just, you know, have new people, you know, adding new people. And then someone posts something I didn't like or done anything like that. I just unfriend that person. You know, it's so easy for us to be, you know, disconnected with people. You know, and that's the kind of culture that we are living today. And that's the culture that people are trying to have in their marriage. That's the kind of culture people are having in their group of friends at school and workplace and so many different things. And that's the kind of culture many times people bring to the church. You know, I don't like this church. I'm going to just unfriend this church and move it on. You know, and they're going to find struggles and so many different things. And then we end up not growing and becoming who God called us to be. Amen. And I want to just share three simple steps, you know, to build a healthy community, you know, a healthy family. And the first thing, if we go to the next one, please. We need to connect with people, yeah? We need to build connections with people, yeah? Turn to the person next to you and say, you need to build connections with people. Turn to the person to the other side and say, you need to build connections with people. If we go to the next one, please. And then there's a few scriptures here which will kind of help us to understand what I'm saying. And I'm going to read again Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting here Jesus saying, go. Yeah. Go and connect it with people. And that's not just something for Pastor Sam saying, Sam, go and connect it with people. It's not something just for Jenny, you know, go and connect it with people. But it's something for all of us. God is saying, go and connect it with people. You know, many times we're talking with Christians and then, oh, I don't know really what God wants for my life. You know, it's very simple. God wants to use you to build communities. Yeah, and God wanted you to go and connect it with people. Yeah, we see in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another, it's amazing. Jesus is saying to the apostles, Jesus is saying to the foundation of the church, you know, love one another, you know, connected with one another. You know, Jesus is not saying pray loud or do the best worship or deliver the best message, you know, or have the best marketing strategies, you know, and the people will know that you are true my disciples. Jesus is saying related with one another, love one another, you know, have connections with one another, you know, then the world will know that you're truly my disciples, you know. The way we relate it, we need to have a community where the world out there, where there's so much pain, so much destruction, so much jealousy, yeah, so much envy, so much, you know, pain. They're going to be able to look to our church community and say, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that. I want to connect, you know, with those guys. Because they are really together. They are loving each other. You know, and this is a new commandment that Jesus gave us. It's a commandment. He's saying, love one another. Connected with one another. It's so crucial. Then we see John, again, in the Gospel of John, but now chapter 15, verse 5, it says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Yeah. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This kind of community, this healthy community, will happen out of a relationship with Christ. Right. You know, the more we pursue this relationship with Christ, the more we connected with Christ, yes, the more we're going to become that community that I'm talking about. The more we're going to be connecting with people, the more we're going to be loving each other. The more we accept the grace of God over our lives, the more grace we're going to have towards one another. The more we encounter this mercy of God over our lives, the more we're going to have grace towards one another. Yeah, and the first thing, you know, in this connecting with people, you need to go and start connecting with people, you know. And this connection with people starts here inside the church. You know, when was the last time we invited someone from church, you know, for a coffee? When was the last time you tried to connect with someone here in church? When was the last time we invited someone from church for a meal in your house? Because Jesus was saying, love one another as I loved you. Jesus were actually eating with those guys. Jesus were actually washing their feet. Look to the relationship of Jesus with the apostles and the disciples. And that's the kind of relationship we should be having with one another. And we should be connecting with one another. You know, because when the world out there see the love that we have for one another, they're going to say, I want to be part of that. You know, and maybe you say, yes, but, you know, life is quite busy. Maybe we need to change our lifestyle. Yeah. Who's dictating what we should be doing in life? Is the world out there? Or is Christ? Because God said we need to love one another. We need to spend time with one another. And then we also need to start connecting, you know, with the world out there. With our friends, you know, out there. With the homeless. With, you know, the mothers out there. With the parents out there. You know, if we don't connect it with people, how we can actually introduce Christ to others, you know. And one of the important things with this connection, I think, is for us to connect it with God. How's your life with God? Do you spend time praying? Do you spend time reading the Word of God? Do you spend time in this relationship with Christ? Because God called us to be in a relationship with Him. It's not just Sunday, you know, but it's this great relationship with God. Because out of this relationship with Him, you know, we're going to be loving one another. We're going to be connecting with one another. We're going to be connecting with the world. And we're going to be taking the gospel and taking the first step. You know, as we read in John, you know, He is the vine and we are the branches. And if you see like a tree, a fruit tree, and if you break one of the branches and you leave that out, that branch is going to die. It's so crucial for that branch to be connected, you know, with the fruit tree. And out of that connection, that branch will start producing fruits. Amen. And then the next one, if we move to the next one, please, is about accept people. We need to be accepting people. Yeah? We connected with people, but then we need to accept people. Turn to the person next to you and say, you need to start accepting people. Cool. Hey, man. If we go to the next one, please. We got Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing some, people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Can you imagine? You've been encountering angels. But because that angel was a big stranger for you, was not exactly what you were actually expecting from that stranger. You say, oh, I don't want to really connect it with that person. How sad is that? One day you're in heaven, then you come across, oh, I came to a church once. Whoa, serious, yeah. But you were so strange. I never thought you were like an angel. Can you imagine? Can you imagine we had great opportunities? And we can look back to Jesus, because Jesus were actually strange to the people. Scripture says that Jesus, people will not give Him a second look, isn't it? And many people, you know, missed to encounter God because he was a bit strange. And I think that's the same thing. You know, many times, you know, we need to drop all of those differences. You know, the way people dress, the way people speak, and so many other things. Because that sometimes can stop us from encountering, you know, and accepting people. Romans chapter 14, verse 1 and 4, it says, accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over dispute matters. Number 2, one person's faith allows them to eat everything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with consent the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. Number 4, who are you to judge someone else? Servant, to their own matter, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. It's amazing. Who am I to judge someone? Sometimes church can be very a place where we're judging everyone. Oh, I'm so spiritual. I'm here and you there. You know, sometimes we're trying to treat the new Christians as the people who've been in this journey for so long. Our expectations with the new Christians sometimes can be too high. Sometimes we lack of understanding that people are in different places in their journey. And we don't show the kindness and the love. You know, we don't accept it, each other. And there's so many battles and different things and so many crashes in the church. Because we are missing that. We should be loving each other. You know, and we need to understand the difference between values and preference. There's a massive difference between values and preference. And we need to stand for our values as a church. You know, values are not flexible. We live by our values. You know, but we got different preference. You know, and we need to our preference, we need to have a good balance. Yeah. And we see, you know, a good example and when we pray. Yeah. There's people who like to pray loud. There's people who like to pray a little bit quietly. Yeah. And one of the things that we need to understand, prayer is a value. Loud or quiet, it's a preference. Yeah. You can pray quietly and really hearing from God. You can pray loud and you can really hear from God. You know, you can have a great experience with God in those two ways, you know. But we got different preference, and sometimes, you know, we allow preference, you know, to be an issue. I remember our preference has a lot to do with our culture, yeah. In Brazil, our culture is very loud, you know. Woohoo! And I remember coming to the UK, and I used to go to prayer meetings, you know, with some of the pastors and people, you know, English people, and they were so quiet in their prayer. Say, oh, the Spirit of the Lord is not here, you know. And then after a bit of time, you know, I realized actually the Spirit of the Lord was actually there. And it was very powerful things that God were actually doing. It was just my preference, you know, because it's part of my culture. That's the way I normally would be doing things. And that's the same thing with worship and music and all of those things. There's people who like something a bit more quiet. Some people like a bit louder and jumping and all of those things, you know. And when I was a young, you know, a little bit younger, I really liked the jumping and everything. But then now I rather kind of a bit more quiet, kind of Bethel style, you know. But then, and then I understood I need a good balance. I understood it's not just about me. It's about the people in the church. It's about the young generation who are going to be walking through the door. What kind of style of music that they like? What is the best thing for them to connect to? Because it's about accepting people. The people who are going to be walking through the door, what are the things I might need to change? You know? What are the things you guys might need to change to start accepting people? You got your own preference, yeah, and we can have a good balance of preference, Yeah, but what are the things that will suit better what God is doing in here, in this town, in this generation, you know, as we connecting with people? Amen? Okay, we need to connect it with people, and then we need to accept it, people. Yeah, and the final point I want to share with you guys, we need to love like Christ. If we go to the next one, please. Yeah, we as a community, you know, we as a family, we need to love like Christ. And I want to just read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to verse 7. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 7. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Number two, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I might boast, but not have love, I'm gaining nothing. How powerful is that? And how the church is getting that wrong. Because if you can prophesy, if you can speak in the language of the angels, if you can, you know, give everything to the poor, if you can have the best worship, if you can preach in the best way, if you can have the best light, if you can have all of those things, that's it. But what we see in scripture is a bit different. You can do all of those things. I'm not discrediting on those things. I think those things are important. But if you're lacking of love, then we miss the point. Love is crucial in everything that we're doing. Because God is love. It's not that God love or he got a bit of love, but that's who God is. God is love. And if whatever we are doing, if we are lacking of love, it's pointless. We should be connecting with people. We should be accepting people. But we need to be in everything that we do. You know, we should be led by love. Yeah. Number four, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. Number five, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keep not record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoice with the truth. Number seven, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Wow. Those are the things that we should be focused. As we are building community, love is what we should be focusing. And I don't think love is a feeling, as we see many times. Love is a decision. We make the decision to love and we cry out. Do you remember the scripture that we read? You know, the importance of us to be connected with the vine, with Jesus. And we see the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And all of those things connect quite well of love. And that's what we should be pursuing. That's what we need to be, you know, doing. And I want to encourage you, you know, as you start, you know, being part of this community, as you start being part of this family, as you start, you know, connecting with people, as you start accepting people, I want to encourage you to be patient. Be patient. Wait in the Lord. Be patient with each other. Be kind with each other. Be consistent and the things that you're doing. Be patient, be kind, be consistent, because many times we start doing something and we do for a month and then we give up. We do for a week, then we give up. I want to encourage you guys to be consistent in the things that you're doing. You know, and the culture of the kingdom of God is all about love. And that's our new culture. It's a culture of love where we connect to the people, where we accept people, where we are kind towards each other, where we have patience towards each other, you know. And that's something, you know, Scripture says the importance of the renewing of our mind. Because that's not the culture of the world. The culture of the world, I'm here to get what I can get from you. It's nothing about love. You know, love based in what they can get back from the person that they are saying they're loving. But as in Christ, that's not the culture that we're living. You know, and there is a need of a renewing of our mind. Amen. Let us just take a moment in God's presence. I want to kind of just, yes, as the worship's going to start playing, let us just take a moment now just to pray and allow the Holy Spirit to, yes, to touch our hearts with His love. You know, God called you to go and make disciples. God called you to, you know, go and connecting with people here inside the church and outside of the church. You know, and I'm not here to say that. I don't even know if you guys are doing or not. You know, I hope, you know, in my heart that's what you're doing. You know, but if you're not doing that, I want to just encourage you and just say, God, please forgive me. Because you got this great calling in my life and so far I've been distracted. And just pray, God, please help me to connect with others in this church. Help me to Lord, yes, please come and have your way. Come and have your way in my life, God. Lead me. Lead me, God, that I'm going to be able to connect with other people, God, in this church. Help me to connect God with the outside world. Help me to connect it with you, God, as you wanted this great relationship with me. And sometimes I'm so busy with my life and I keep forgetting about that. Help me, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Help me to accepting people. To understand, like I'm in my journey and still things should be changed in my life. Like everybody else, God, and that I will stand strong in the values, Lord, but I will be more flexible in my preference. I will be willing to sacrifice some of my preference for the sake of your kingdom, for the sake of seeing new people walking through the door, Lord. I will be sacrifice my culture sometimes, Lord, just to connecting with others, Lord, and everything that we do, I pray that you give us the love, because love is what really matters, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, 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 in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, just let the Holy Spirit minister into your heart this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to just invite Pastor Sam to come here to the front. I want to invite my wife also to come here. We're going to, you know, and everyone just to stand, you know, in the presence of God. And let us pray for Pastor Sam now. Yeah? If you can direct it, your right hand towards him right now. Lord, we thank you for the life, Lord, of our good brother, Sam. You know his heart, you know the plans that you have for his life, God. We pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that you renew his strength, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that he will fly like an eagle, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, and who will be going above all things, God. We pray that you lead him, Lord, in this journey of building this community, God. We pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, that will be this perfume, that will be this fragrance that is coming out, Lord, from his life and his family, God. And people, when they walk past, Lord, in the streets, God, the people who lives in the surround areas, God, this perfume, God, we attracted so many people. This perfume of your love, this perfume, Lord, of your acceptance, God, the broken heart, we start walking through the door, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray that use his life, that use Jenny's life, God. Use his family, God, the boys, God. Use, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Use the whole family, God. Use the whole family, God, as a great tool to build, Lord, this great community, God. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to invite you, congregation, if you want to, you know, help in this journey of building this community, if you want to, you know, say, I want to participate in this process of connecting with people, I want to participate in this process of accepting people, I want to participate in this process of forming this family and this community, I want to be led by the love of God, I want to just invite you to come to the front, and we're going to be praying. Pastor Sam, Pastor Lucian, and myself, we're going to be praying for you. Are you willing to allow God to help in this process? You know, if you want to, you know, help in this process, you know, of building this community, I want to just see, you know, invite you to come to the front. You know, it's not a matter of if you are, you know, perfect. It's a matter of if you are willing. You know, it's about what God can actually do through your life. I want to just come. You know, I know God brought you to this church because he has a plan and a purpose. You know, and he want to use you, you know, to help in the process of building this community. I want to, you know, just come. Come as you are. You know, just come. God want to impact your life. God want to use you. You know, God want to use you. I can see people here, you know, who are going to cause an impact, you know, in the life of families. That people who are going to cause an impact in the life of the youth in this town. There's people here who are going to connect with the broken heart. You know, and maybe you're saying, but I'm broken. You know, but God will be, you know, will be an overflowing of his presence in your life in a way that will be healing for you. But also, he's going to use you as a tool of healing. You know, there's people who are going to be connecting with the business people in this town, you know, and going to be teaching them a different way of doing business in a God way, you know. Lord, yes, just come. Come as you are. You know, God going to use you. Be great, you know. Lord, I pray also for the worship team right now as they are available to you, as they are willing to serve you, as they are willing, God, to help in this process of building community. I pray as they sing, as they go through the worship. Lord, I pray worship in this church will be a time of healing, a time of connection with you. I pray that you lead them to worship you in the spirit and the truth. Lord, and they will lead your church to worship you in the spirit and the truth. To lead your church to have a great connection with you. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. The word of God says that there is no greater love than this of the one who laid down his life for his friend. And there is something so beautiful about surrendering. There is something so beautiful about trusting God and what he has for you. And I just want to encourage you who came to the front this morning, just surrender all at the foot of the cross and trust that the one who brought you here this morning, the one who's been walking your life all this time, he prepared you, he gave you everything that you need to fulfill this calling of community, this calling of love and empowerment, of encouragement over the people around you. And we just want to pray for you, because the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. God has so much more. And I pray that this morning something will enlarge inside of you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's putting fire that calling. Father, we pray now in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to lay down everything that we are. everything that we know to you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus.